Blog Talk Radio.
Believe that things that are old, that are not working, that we will change. We have to let God change us. As Tamla Mann sings the song, "Change me, oh God, make me more like you." We need a more like him in our spirit. For there is no God like our God. Who is so great a God as our God? There is none. Who are the God who does wonders? You are the God who does wonders. Our God, there's no one like him because he is a God that does wonders. He shows signs and wonders. He takes us where we need to go when we need to go there. He never forgets us. He never forsakes us. He is always there. How awesome can you say that? My daddy God is always there. He has never forgotten me. He has never forsaken me. He's always been there. So praise the Lord with me this morning. Just tell God thank you. Wherever you are, just give God a thank you in your spirit. Just say, Lord, I thank you for another day. Lord, I appreciate your grace and your mercy. Lord, I just want you to know I love you more than anything. Heavenly Father God, we come before you this morning with humble hearts, thanking you for another day, thanking you that all is well, God, because you said so. Lord God, I trust in your word. I trust in your Romans 8:28, that all things are working for good, God. Because I do trust you. I am, whoo, hallelujah, God, going to believe that you can help all of us get through our messes, God. Get through the things of life that just mess us up and take us. I'm believing you for the miracles, God, that can only come from you, God. I'm believing you for the hope in the future, God, that can only come from you. I'm thanking you, Lord God, for another day. I will not waste it or throw it away. Father God, I ask you to remove the spirit of distraction and replace it with concentration. And I can and I will and I must do in our spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Asking you as always, Father God, to increase as we decrease. Father God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength. You are our strength, Lord God. And it's through the blood of Jesus that we are redeemed to do nothing more than say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. We are going to rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life, who woke me up this morning, I pray, clothed in my right mind, ready to move into another day. For it is through him that I move, that I live and have my being. And all I can do is say, thank you. On this Psalm, Proverb, and New Testament Sunday, you know, we went through a lot over Friday in our chronicles. Lots of names and gods and them and those, but we are grateful that we got through and God gave us the word that when you do not inquire of the Lord, you're not doing right. When you do not inquire of the Lord to help you, to guide you, to lead you, to get you where you need to go, we got to inquire of the Lord. Hallelujah. Inquire of the Lord this morning. Saul lost everything because of disobedience and not inquiring of the Lord. I don't want to be disobedient, and I don't want to lose everything. In the name of Jesus, we want to move forward, not backward. And as we go forth in the Word of God, it says in the 77th Psalm, which is where we will be today, 77th Psalm, starting at verse number 10. And then we will go into... I'm getting it. Verse number 10. So we'll finish up the 77th Psalm, starting at verse 10 through verse 20. And then we will start chapter 78 of the 78th Psalm, and starting at verse 1 through 11. And our Proverbs this morning, our Proverbs, excuse me, everyone, Proverbs 19, starting at verse 15 through verse 21. And our New Testament word will be Acts chapter 6 through Acts chapter 7. So get your Bibles. It is Bible study. It is meditating on the Lord's word so we may show ourselves approved. And the word of God says this. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. You have with your army redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They are afraid. The depths are so trembled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea. Your path in the great waters. And your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And I just want to put a quick pin in this word. Excuse me. When we talk about the depth, your way was in the sea. Just want to give condolences to the family of those that lost loved ones in the Titanic submarine situation where these group of tourists were going to see the Titanic on a mini sub, and it imploded and killed them all. One was a 19-year-old. God chose all to come to him. So we lift up these families and ask God that each and every one was saved before they left this earth, that salvation came at the bottom of the sea. And so condolences to those families. Condolences to, excuse me, all the immigrants that died also on the sea trying to get to safety in a safe country. I believe they may have been Haitians. I'm not sure, so do not quote me on that. But I do remember reading somewhere where it was women and children that drowned also in that situation. So keep those that are on the ocean, that are trying to get from point A to point B, that God keeps them safe from all harm and danger. Because the sea is a big and massive. And I was just looking at a scientific thing the other day, and it talked about the fact that we have possibly only explored about a third of the sea. Think that through, sea, which means it is so vast with so many things in it, you know, in the depths of the sea that we may never know. I believe that God called Leviathan from the sea. And so as we continue in our word this morning, it says a contemplation of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide, children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Excuse me. I have a serious tickle this morning. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, and the generations to come might know them, that the generations to come might know them. The children would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the work of God, but keep his commandments and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that does not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. We cannot forget what God has done for us. We cannot sit in complaint about everything and not give God thanks for all that he has done. We all know we're going to go through, but we need to take a minute and just tell God thank you. The things that we go through could be a whole lot worse. We could not have anything. We could be living out of a suitcase. We could be living in a shelter. We could be anywhere doing anything because we don't know anybody's story. So we should tell God thank you. Thank you in the midst of all your mess. Thank him in the midst of your good days. Thank him in the midst of your bad days. Thank him in the midst of everything. And watch him work. And the word of God says in the Psalm 77, it says, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. When hardship stalks us and we feel at our lowest point, it can bring great comfort to dwell on the fact that God never changes and that he will always act on behalf of those who wait for him. Are you waiting on the Lord this morning? Are you trying to do you? We got to wait on God. And I love this answer to questions from our 77th Psalm. And for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year by Dr. Charles Stanley. God rest his humble soul. And God has already shown me that if it is his will, so far it is, that we will do this Bible one more year. It will be 3 years that we have read from this Bible. And next year will be our last year in this Bible, from what I'm understanding, you know, in my studies and what God has given me. But we will have one more year of this Bible, so please purchase this Bible if you don't have it. You know, God is really in the midst of things, and we got to stand back, study, meditate on his word, and know that all is well. And it's just, how can I praise God when life doesn't go well? You got bills and bills and bills and no money to pay for. When you got all kind of things going on, the car broke down, the cat ran away, the dog tried to bite me. You know, all those things happen, and we got to understand that that's life, and we need to work on it. We got to work on it. We got to ask God to guide us. We got to ask God to lead us. We got to ask God for the cat to come back and the dog to have it be on his best behavior. You know, I had a little dog that decided, been outside all day long, waited just as calmly as she got in the house to look me in the eye and go to the bathroom on the carpet. And all I could think about was, why? Why did you do that? Looked at me, looked at her mama, and went to the bathroom. All I could say is no. And I started to pick her up and take her back outside. But instead, I cleaned up the mess and put her on doggy punishment, which means she does not get treats for a week. So she's on doggy punishment for a week. So she gets no treats until the 3rd of July. She is on a week's punishment. But I cannot believe it. But that's life. That's what God feels sometimes. That he keeps us in the security of the sunlight, in the brightness of his love. And then we come in and go to the restroom on all the blessings that he's given us. Wow. We got to think about the things that we do, the things that we say, and how we treat God's people and how we treat what God blesses us with. Because some of us need to be spanked and put on doggy panties. And it says, now, how can I praise God when life doesn't go well? We've all been there. We've all been there. Because when life twists and turns, take you down unexpected and difficult roads, it can sometimes feel strange to praise the Lord. Yet he seeks our praise in all things, whether they appear good to us or not. So how can you praise God when adversity finds its way into your life? First, remember that our God is good and always gives us ample reasons to praise him. When you find yourself not wanting to praise him or not knowing how, try some of the following ideas. Make a list of blessings God has bestowed on you, from giving you friends and family to salvation in his Son. Tell someone about your salvation experience, retelling the moment when God lovingly adopted you into his family helps you recall the beauty of his matchless grace. Read a psalm each day. David praised God through hardship and great trial. We can learn from his example. Try to imagine how God could use negative circumstances to glorify himself. Could he use the death of a loved one to get a lost person thinking about the meaning of life? Can he use the loss of a job to help you focus on him and find out how you can experience his best? Absolutely. Could he use an illness to give you the opportunity to minister to the sick souls of your doctors and nurses as they minister to your sick body? We got to learn to speak up and tell people about how good God is. You know, my husband, my late husband, when he was sick, you know, one of his nurses, young woman I had ever met, so cheerful and just full of joy. That's the only word I can say, just full of joy. And my husband just thought the world of her, you know. And then who is to say how God puts a circle in your life? This young lady winds up me teaching her children in children's church. And I'm like, I know you. And then I gave her a hug. I said, because I saw her again after he had passed. And I told her that he had passed. And she got a little teary-eyed and said he was the nicest person, you know, one of our nicest patients. And I told her how much he respected and just loved her to pieces. You know, and then as time goes on, I met her mother. I met her children because I taught them in children's ministry. Her oldest son and her two sons, excuse me, wound up going to school with my granddaughter, and they are her best friends and were at her sweet 16 party where the little joy of her life, named Joy, danced the night away with her little self, so full of energy. And it just goes to show that what you don't know who you're going to meet in life that will bring joy, that will bring friendship, that will bring all those things that you need. And to think that it all started when you first met this person in service, taking care of someone you love. We got to continue to trust God. We got to continue to know that he will come through for you. It says in this word, second, remember that God's overriding purpose in your life is to glorify him and that he will use any means necessary to accomplish that. Ask him to change your perspective so that you will see your life circumstances as he does. For example, God has a deciding different viewpoint on the death of believers than we often do. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. that 16, Psalm 16, when we begin to see things as he does, we begin to see the truth. And praise once more can find a home on our lips. Are you going to praise God today through your mess? Are you going to praise God today through your storm? Are you going to praise God today? Thank you, Lord, for blessing me, for guiding me, for leading me, for giving me more than enough. We have to make decisions on what God tells us to do. If we walk in fear and not in faith, we will not move forward. And it says, third, by exercising your will, make a conscious choice to praise him. David did this. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. 146 Psalm verse 2. Despite how we may feel, praise really can flow from you like a fountain. Begin right now. Are you ready to praise God with me? We got to praise him. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19 and 17, life lessons. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. Nothing you do for those in need is ever wasted. Even if your actions are unappreciated or unacknowledged, God knows what you've done and rewards you. Matthew 25:34-40. And that's when you have to understand, God knows your heart. God knows why you do what you do. God is in charge. And it says the key to surviving the tough times in life. We can probably agree that the tough times of life are inescapable. Difficult circumstances will take place in every person's life. Of course, some of the troubles we experience are those we bring upon ourselves. Can the church say amen? While others are the result of what God is doing in our life. However, what is important is the way we respond to those tough times. That's why it's truly going to make a difference in us. We must decide whether we're going to let our burdens develop us or destroy us. Our success, think about how the Israelites responded to their trials as they fled Egypt for the promised land. Some, like Moses and Joshua, engaged the long arduous journey with confidence in God, and their character became stronger because of it. Yet there were also Israelites who were faithless, and they crumbled beneath their load because they refused to trust in God. The difference was the way they responded to their problems. Some of the most godly men and women I know are those who have walked through the most difficult times of heartbreak, loss, and persecution. However, through it all, they committed themselves to being godly, strong, and courageous, to continue trusting God no matter what happened. Though they're just ordinary people, they learned the key to surviving the tough times in life. Speaking of Moses, Hebrews 11:27 tells us, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses understood that no circumstance was too difficult for God, and so he knew that any problem or obstacle he encountered was surmountable through the wisdom and power of God. This is the means by which we can have the indomitable fear. Indomitable spirit that can conquer any dilemma. We can be strong and hold up under any crushing pressure with the knowledge that God will deliver us out of it. For example, when the children of Israel were caught between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, Moses was able to remain faithful, even though the 77th Psalm 19:4, your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. Moses didn't know how God would deliver them, but he still knew that God would deliver them. So he said to Israel, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Oh, hallelujah. I'm standing still. I'm believing God for miracles. I'm believing for signs and wonders. I'm believing in God that all is well. Moses saw the one who is unseen. He saw God. If we forget anything else, we must remember this. The key to surviving tough times is learning to live with the continuing awareness of the presence of God. Have you discovered that yet? Are you aware that every moment of your life you are in the presence of Almighty God and that he is sovereign, loving, all-knowing, and faithful? You should, because he is always with you, helping you, providing for you, and protecting you. There is no trouble, heartache, loss, or suffering that his loving hand can't guide you through. Fully count on him then. You'll not only survive the tough times, you'll triumph in them. And I just want to shout out my friend Tracy, who does listen, and I know you're morning, Tracy, just to say congratulations for persevering. For over a year, God has worked with you, and all I can say is thank you, Lord. What an awesome and mighty young woman you have become, and I am just so proud of you, and I'm shouting you out this morning because I admire your perseverance. I admire what you have done to improve yourself and improve your life and circumstances and to do it with a brave, wonderful smile. Always when the church door is open, this young woman is there. She's there to help out in any capacity that she is asked to do. And even when she's not asked, this is the young woman that will come in. And if the toilet needs cleaning, she'll do it. Whatever God calls her to do, she does. And she is a joy. And so I had to shout her out this morning because God put it in my heart to say congratulations. You know what God has done for you, and we are so very proud of you. The 78th Psalm, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, generation to come, the praises of the Lord. It is our job to tell our children not only the great things God did in the Bible times, but also the wonderful works he has performed in our own lives. They need to see God at work in us. Hallelujah. Because your grandchildren will tell you, your house is a mess. You know, and what can we do to help you get it in order? You know, I'm just being honest because my house has been a mess for a minute. And my grandson, he's like, whew. And I'm like, well, whew, don't you make a mess yourself that I got to clean up. So let's all keep our particular messes clean. And he's like, yeah, that's right. Because as I find his juice box, I said, no. Today, pick it up, put it in the trash. You know, and he's looking at me and I'm looking at him. You know, because I'm like, the mess is the mess you created. So let's clean it up. You know, we all make our messes. And our daddy God is saying, okay, it's your mess. You got to clean it up. And so as we go into our Proverbs this morning, you know, the Psalms have just been so fantastic. And I know I got a lot more word, but this has been such a good word. We could have just stayed in the Psalms this morning and been good. But our Proverbs God has given us is laziness. Come on now. Cast one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. He who keeps the commandments keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. We got to be careful, and we cannot be lazy. And that is the truth. When you're lazy, you're just tired all the time. I'm like, Lord, don't let me be tired all the time. He who has pity on the poor and lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. You know, you got folks that don't want to give anything. You know, look at poor people, put their nose in the air. Understand that by the grace of God, go I. I think about every time I think about that is the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus is poor beggar, full of sores, that only ones that come and minister to him are the dogs. And even the dogs give him the crumbs that they have. Come on now. He has, all he can eat is the crumbs from the rich man's table. And he has to share them with the dogs. And the dogs lick his sores where the man walks past him like he's nothing. But then when they both die, Lazarus is clean and beautiful and healthy in the arms of Abraham, looking down at the rich man burning in torment in hell, talking about, can you go and tell my brothers? No, your brothers didn't do right. While I was alive, why would they believe me when I'm dead? Come on now. And as Abraham politely told him, he can't come to you because he was wanting a drink of water. Can you bring me a cool drink? And he said, he can't come to you and you can't come to him. You can't come past this. You know, we don't want to be the rich man burning in hell because we didn't know how to be kind to the poor. Says, chasing your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. We got to get our children in order when they're small. You can't wait till somebody is a grown man trying to discipline them. Come on. They look at you like you crazy. You got to get children in order. That is why I believe in my heart God gave me children's ministry, because I want our children to be successful. I want our children to do great things for the kingdom of God. As I was watching a broadcast, I listened to a broadcast a couple of weeks ago, and one of my little boys that I had taught in children's ministry was praying for someone and came up and did the prayer for the offering in his church, and I was so proud. I just got teary-eyed because I know that I poured into this little boy when he was 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, and he has not departed from that training. He has gotten bigger and better and loved the Lord. And all you can say is, thank you, God. And it says, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment, but if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. God knows everything. And he tells us, he says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. And when we go back over our Proverbs life lessons, you know, one we read earlier, you know, and that is, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has been given. You know, we got to pay it forward. We got to do what God says do. And it says the value of godly counsel from our 19th Proverb, verse 20. God often uses other believers to strengthen, encourage, and enrich our lives. Despite counsel's negative influence around us, we can still find wisdom through the counsel of godly men and women. A wonderful example of this is the prophet Nathan in his confrontation with King David. Nathan could have been killed talking to David like he did, but he knew what God told him to do, and he had to do it. God used Nathan to bring his servant David to repentance. Although the intense conviction greatly pained David, it was absolutely necessary in order for him to regain a right relationship with God. You out there cheating, out there getting to kill this man over your adulterous affair. You were wrong. This man had nothing. You have all these wives. Why did you have to mess with his? Telling you. But from that infidelity came Solomon, the wisest man. But even Solomon messed up because of the sins of his father. All those wives from different places, different gods, and allowing them not, and instead of having them worship his God, he started worshiping man. Vanity of vanities, as he said. The book of Proverbs teaches us repeatedly to seek a godly counsel. We must be careful that the person giving us counsel is in step with the Lord. While we are all fellow travelers on the path toward godly wisdom, we would be wise to lean on each other for support along the way. I need you. You need me. We need each other to survive this life. Don't think anything or anyone is better than you. We are all the same in the eyes of God. Acts chapter 7 says, then the high priest, are these things so? And he said, brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and from and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance, in it not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. But God spoke in this way, that his descendants would dwell in a foreign land and that they would bring them into bondage and oppress them 400 years. And the nation to whom they will be bonded, I will judge, said God, and after that they shall come out and serve me in this place. Then he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs becoming envious sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now famine and great trouble came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And the second time Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to the Pharaoh. And then Joseph sent and called his father Jacob and all his relatives to him, 75 people. So Jacob went down to Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers. And they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a sum of money for the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time, Moses was born and was well pleasing to God. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was sent out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her son. Who God knows everything and sees everything. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptians. For he supposed that his brothers would have understood that God would deliver them by his hands, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then at this thing, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when he and when 40 years had passed, now understand, Moses was 80 years old when he went back to Pharaoh. 80 years old. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. As he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them and now come, I will send you to Egypt. Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had sworn wonders and he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Now understand, 40 years old when he left Egypt, 80 years old when he came back to Egypt, 120 years old when he died. Wow. He says, whew, Jesus. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren whom you shall see in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. And with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey but rejected. And in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. Did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You also took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, Raphaim, image which you made to worship, and I will carry you away. Carry you away beyond Babylon. God has never left us. He has always been there. He will never leave you now. You know, as we go into this word this morning, who is so great a God as our God? All we have to do is go back in time to see what kind of God we serve, what kind of awesome and mighty Father we have. We can go back into the Word and we can see it. And as we go, and it says this, you know, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. You know, I think I missed this section here. In Acts chapter 6, verse 15, and it says this, 1 through 15. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith Hallelujah. And Holy Spirit, Philip, Procorius, Nicana, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, apostolate from Antioch. When they sat before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Then the word of the Lord spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Darius, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not speak. This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against his holy place, against his holy place." Come on now. It wasn't holy when they were doing dirt. And it goes on to say, "In place of the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Stephen was like an angel. You know, he loved God. And they killed him. What did he do? He asked God to forgive him. Because that was his heart. He had a heart of love and compassion. And as we go back into this life lesson, it says we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Church leaders and teachers, in particular, must never skimp on their time spent in prayer and in God's word, which is why we do what we do. Since they will receive a stricter judgment, James 3:1, they need to make sure they stay close to God. That's why I get up early in the morning and do this show. That's why I study and take classes and do whatever I can to learn to be better at this assignment that God has given me, to preach and teach his word, to read his word, to meditate on it day and night, and to share. And 11, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God, just as the opponents of Jesus instructed witnesses to testify falsely against the Lord, so the opponents of Stephen followed the same strategy. Interestingly, neither man tried to refute the false charges because they knew that ultimately God would bring the truth to light. And that is for real. The truth is always brought to light. All we have to do is wait on the Lord God. And in Acts 7:5, even when Abraham had no children, he promised to give it to him for a possession. God's word of promise often appears when all hope seems lost. Being so old, how could Abraham ever expect to have a son? Yet it is in the midst of the impossible that God best shows us his wondrous power and teaches us faith. Hallelujah. 7:10. God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh. Stephen reminded his audience that Joseph had been persecuted by his own brothers, but that God used even their evil deeds to bless him. God always blesses obedience, but note that while Joseph lived, Stephen died. They killed a young man of God. And as we go to our last life lesson this morning, in Acts 7:35, Moses, whom they rejected, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer. just as the Hebrews initially rejected Moses and the religious leaders renounced Jesus, people who truly love and serve God may experience opposition from the very ones they are trying to help. Therefore, don't be discouraged when you face resistance. Obey God, and he will show everyone that he is the one working through you. God is working in this season. He is a great and mighty God, and I can say with certainty, he loves us more than we can imagine. Thank you all for listening in this morning. A couple of words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I thank you for praying for her. She is feeling better. I talked with her yesterday. And I'm just so happy to say she is coming back in a lot better. And her word for Friday was this. Sometimes our only available transportation is a leap of faith. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. We had that, and we talked about having a faith-filled Friday. That's what she said, move, have a move of faith Friday. And her word for yesterday is, good morning. Nobody can block the blessings that God has for you. And that's a word for today. Nobody can block the blessings that God has for you. Have a super Saturday, family, is what she said. But we say, have a super spiritual, saved, sanctified, earned it. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and watch God work in your life. And a prayer for this morning. Take courage. Have I not commanded you be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that is my scripture, Joshua 1:9. Hallelujah. Ever present one, you are a true companion and help, always with me in times of trouble as well as rest. Everything in our lesson. When fear tries to bully me, I will remember that I am not alone. When disappointment approaches my door, I will remind myself that you are with me no matter the circumstances. You know my heart is tempted to follow the pathways of dismay, but your love is better. Thank you for the choice that is really mine to decide which energy I will partner with, courage or fear. I know that you have given me grace to empower me to stand in confidence even when logic screams to run away. I will not live my life deferring to fears, intimidation, tactics. Today I choose to be brave, for I know that you are with me. I will walk in the way of courage with your love as my firm foundation. I find all the resolve I need in the strength of your support. And the question today for all of us is this. What do you need courage to face today? And I just need courage to face that spirit of distraction to do what I need to do for God. Have a blessed day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Remember, find a Bible, believe in Bible, teach in church, and know that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he loves you. Have a great day. It is a wrap. Join me tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, for Moving Forward with Minister Wiggins. Have a great day.